across America. Live, this is Point of View. And now, John Clement.
Thank you very much for joining us today here on Point of View. Our guest today on Point of View is Judge Andrew Napolitano. He is just talking about his book entitled Constitutional Chaos, and also telling us that there is widespread misuse and abuse of power within our criminal justice system. And as you read in his book, Constitutional Chaos, he repeats his observation that it should be against the law to break the law. And because the government breaks the law, the government is not our friend. On the panel today, making a John Clemens, by the way, the only person on Point of View today without a law degree, is Kelly Shackelford of the Liberty Legal Institute. Kelly, thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, happy to be here, John.
Good. Judge, tell us, if you would, a little bit about the genesis of writing this book, Constitutional Chaos.
The genesis of writing the book, John, is really my 8 years as a life-tenured Superior Court judge in New Jersey, during the course of which I was able to observe firsthand the type of excesses that the government engages in. Now, this, of course, is pre-9/11, so there's no Patriot Act at the time, but I'm talking about ordinary criminal prosecutions, where the government will prosecute people it knows are innocent, where the government will bribe witnesses to testify against a defendant, where the government will charge people with crimes that it knows it can't prove, just to put them through the ringer, where the government will seize property to which it is not entitled, seize evidence unlawfully, all the while forgetting its oath to uphold the Constitution, and will find ingenious ways to avoid and evade the Constitution it is sworn to uphold.
Wow.
In this age of the war on terror, where more and more Americans are having contact with the government, it occurred to me it would be helpful for Americans to understand the Constitution, to understand their rights, to understand the nature of a guaranteed right, to have an idea where rights come from, and to beware of the pitfalls that can befall them.
Well, Judge, this is Kelly Shackelford. I want to thank you for writing this book. I think of course, the people who listen to this program, a lot of people are conservative, a lot of Christians listen to this, and we hear a lot of talk a lot of time about judges abusing the Constitution by making laws up. And I think what you do so well is you present the other side of judicial activism, which we don't talk about enough, which is judges refusing to apply the laws, the Constitution, that are there.
Well, it's very nicely put, and you're right. Much of my beef in my book, as angry as I am with police and prosecutors who break the law, I'm also more angry with my former colleagues, those still on the bench, who allow them to get away with it by refusing to enforce the Constitution.
And how does that happen? I mean, explain to the listeners, you know, because I'm sure the average citizen, you know, thinks, well, this is America. This type of thing wouldn't happen. You know, we have protections. How exactly, explain the human nature of how a prosecutor does this and how a judge would let this happen.
Sure. One of the biggest flaws in the American judicial criminal justice system is the notion of the government bribing a witness. Now, the anti-bribery statutes are the same in virtually every state in the union, and they pretty much say the same thing. Whoever shall offer a witness anything of value in order to influence the witness's testimony in an official proceeding, meaning when the witness is sworn to tell the truth, shall be guilty of bribery. If defense counsel, of course, bribed a witness to get on the witness stand and say, well, the defendant was home with me in bed at the time that the bank robbery occurred, so he couldn't possibly have committed it, the defense counsel and the witness who was bribed, and probably the defendant as well, would have been in on the bribing, would be prosecuted for the act of bribery and would go to jail if convicted, because bribery frustrates a trial and prevents it from being a search for truth. It is a direct assault to the integrity of the judicial system.
Mm-hmm.
But when the government bribes witnesses by paying bills for them, by giving them cash directly, or by forgiving them their own crimes in order that they will tailor their testimony to what the government wants to hear, Some judges, like the one now speaking to you, will say, I'm not going to allow that testimony in my courtroom. But most judges will say, well, that can't be bribery because that's part of ordinary law enforcement. The government's been doing that for 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they're right. The government has been doing it for 100 years. There's no exception in the statute except for government prosecutors. We just accept as normal and natural that somebody cuts a deal with the government in return for no jail time for their own crime, says what the government wants to hear. Why isn't that considered bribery? My favorite bribery cases, well, the most extreme one I know is Sammy the Bull Gravano and John Gotti. Gotti is on trial at the time for a conspiracy to commit a murder. Not murder, but planning a murder, a single murder. Gravano testifies against Gotti, and the government forgives 19 murders that he actually committed with his own hand. What about the victims of those murders? What about their families? There's no redress for them. All of this so that Gravano will tailor his testimony against Gotti. But my favorite bribery cases are when the defendant is on trial for bribery. And one of the leading cases is a federal judge accused of bribery, Judge Walter Nixon, no longer among the living and not related to the former president. Judge Nixon was indicted by a federal grand jury in Las Vegas, Nevada, for bribery. The government bribed a brothel owner to testify against him. So the government prosecutors committed the exact same crime during the prosecution that they were prosecuting the defendant for. The judge is acquitted. The jury doesn't believe the bribed brothel owner. Now there's an outcry in Las Vegas. Well, the brothel owner lied. He's got to be prosecuted for perjury and for bribery. Of course, the government's not going to do that because then it would have to prosecute its own prosecutors and admit that this 100-year-old practice of bribing witnesses is truly a crime.
But, Judge, in a case like that, you got somebody that's an upstanding individual person in a community, and you got a brothel owner. I mean, the first thing the defense is going to do is try to discredit the brothel owner and the testimony of that person, are they not?
Well, that's exactly what happened there. I mean, the judge took the stand in his own defense. The jury believed the judge. By the way, this judge was ultimately convicted of another unrelated crime by a different jury in which a witness was not bribed to testify against him. But my point is, what is there about an attitude and a culture in law enforcement, from traffic cops up to the attorney general, but mainly amongst prosecutors in courtrooms and judges in courtrooms, that accept the idea of bribery, that don't consider it bribery when the government does it? It's just as corrupting of the search for truth when the government bribes a witness as it is when defense bribes a witness. But one's called a crime and one's called ordinary law enforcement. That's my beef.
But even in the case of an example where you try to get after a kingpin, a mafia kingpin, you know, to go along and forgive 19 murders in exchange for prosecuting the kingpin of this or the mafia boss, you know, a lot of us conservatives say, well, that's okay. Yeah, now, let's take a break. I want to come back and just... More, I always wanted to do this. Challenge a judge, Kelly.
God love you.
Now, you do this all the time, Kelly Shocker.
Yogi Berra said when he learned the mayor of Dublin was Jewish, only in America.
It ain't over till it's over with. That's right.
Right.
That's right. Our guest today is Judge Andrew Napolitano, and we're talking about his book that is being published by Thomas Nelson Publishers called Constitutional Chaos, and we'll tell you how you can get more information about his book coming up right after this.
You wouldn't need instant information if life moved at a slow pace.
But life moves at the speed of light, and you've got to keep up.
There is a way to stay on top of your credit report instantly online. Get your free credit report at freecreditreport.com. Join the millions who have already logged on.
I go online, and in seconds, I get my credit report.
Staying on top of my credit helped me get the best deal on my refi.
Why wait when you can instantly see your credit report online, free?
Stay on top of your credit at freecreditreport.com.
Larry King here with a question. You take vitamin E, but are you losing some of it before your body can use it? Well, now there's the advanced protection of Ester E, new from the makers of Ester C. Ester E's breakthrough form protects its antioxidant strength until your body's ready to use it. So don't lose your E. Do what I do. Take new Ester E. Are you getting advanced protection from your vitamin E?
Look for Ester E at Kmart, Kroger, and everywhere vitamins are sold. Ephesians 4:28 calls believers to share with those in need, and that's exactly what MediShare does when it unites believers together to share their healthcare costs and save money. An average MediShare family saves $2,000 per year in healthcare costs. Many Christians worry that a catastrophic illness or single hospital stay could drive them to bankruptcy. But members of MediShare have peace of mind. Over the past 10 years, MediShare members have shared over $100 million in medical bills, and every eligible need has been met. To find out more, call MediShare and request your free program guide. There's no obligation. Call toll-free 1-800-PSALM-23. That's 1-800-PSALM-23. Toll-free 1-800-PSALM-23. Call MediShare today to find out more at 1-800-PSALM-23. 800-PSALM-23.
You could be financially independent and never have to worry about money again. Hi, how in the world are you anyway? This is Andy Willoughby speaking for the 3-Step Plan. The 3-Step Plan is a business system designed to help families start their own home-based business. We are looking for a few people in this area who would like to earn between $500 and $5,000 a month working from home. If you like working with people with similar family values, you'll love the 3-Step Plan. For information, go to 3stepplan.com or call 800-879-5819. We will teach you everything you need to know to get your business off and running. You will need internet access, a telephone, and good people skills. Families from all over the nation are using the 3-Step Plan to make extra money, pay off bills, improve their lifestyle, and work from home. Check out the 3-Step Plan. Go to 3stepplan.com or call toll-free 800-879-5819. 800-879-5819.
If you'd like to take this opportunity and go to our Point of View website and click on the author spotlight, you get all sorts of information about our judge today. He is Judge Andrew Napolitano, and the name of his book is entitled Constitutional Chaos. Just go to www.pointofview.net. And just click on the author's spotlight, and you'll get some information about constitutional chaos that's being published by Thomas Nelson. Judge, let me go back to this example of going after somebody like Gotti. Obviously, our society wants people like that off the streets. So if society has to forgive 19 murders in exchange to get Gotti, is that not a good trade-off?
No, I don't think it's a good trade-off. But more important than that is not that the government made that trade-off, but that the government perverted the process of the trial. See, I am such a strong believer in the purity of the trial system that I condemn anything that perverts the process. As bad as Gotti was, as awful and evil as he represented, even he is entitled to a fair trial. Everyone's entitled to a fair trial. But when the government bribes a witness, the trial is no longer fair, even if the outcome is just. So we can have a just outcome, a guilty person convicted, but if the process is not fair, then justice, both in the legal and in the moral sense, has not been achieved. Because our Constitution was written to assure not that the guilty are punished, but that only those the government can fairly prove are guilty are punished. That's the value judgment that the founders made. And when the government cuts such corners to assure victory and forgets its oath to uphold fidelity to the process, the government ill serves us. Because if they can do it to Gotti, they can do it to you or me or your nephew or your daughter.
Right, exactly. Also on the panel with us today here on Point of View is Kelly Shackelford of the Liberty Legal Institute.
Judge, the way I'd summarize what you just said is that the ends don't justify the means.
No, the ends don't justify the means, and the founders believed that when they crafted the Constitution, Kelly.
And
I think you agree with me.
I do. And I think, you know, again, it's one of those things that Christians and you know, even Jews, Christians, anybody who reads the Bible, they'll read that in the Bible, you know, in the Old Testament, for instance, you couldn't be convicted unless there were two witnesses.
Absolutely.
What an incredible extra protection, you know, for the innocent. that would obviously let some guilty people not be proven to be guilty. And so I think it is a, you know, this whole idea of the end doesn't justify the means is particularly a Christian principle, that, and that is why it is so in our system in this country. And one of the things I wanted to make sure people knew and for, give you a chance to explain is you start out your book talking about natural law and the basis of our system, and I'd love for you to explain that a little bit to the listeners.
Sure. And I thank you for that question. For thousands of years, scholars, both theological and legal, judges and priests and ministers and rabbis and imams and ordinary folk and lawyers and students have argued over what is the source of our liberty. There are many, many schools of thought as to where our liberties come from, but they basically boil down to two. The first is called the natural law, and the second is called positivism. The natural law argues as follows. Our liberty comes from our humanity, and our humanity comes from God. And because God is perfectly free, he has infused in us all of the natural desires that we have for freedom. So the natural yearnings that all rational adults have for freedom of thought, freedom to develop your personality, freedom to express yourself, freedom to travel, freedom from unwarranted government intrusion, freedom to worship as you see fit, these are natural rights that come to us from our humanity and that are ultimately gifts from God. Because they are natural rights, the government, by legislation or by fiat, cannot take them away. They can only be taken away when we break the natural law, when we steal somebody's property, when we hurt someone's body, when we strike out at the moral order. And then, of course, only when a fair trial convicts us before a jury of our peers. Then our liberties can be taken away when we're put in jail. Now, the other school of thought is called positivism. And positivism basically says the law is whatever the lawgiver says it is. So in a democracy, the majority always rules. There are no minority rights to be protected. The government gives rights, and the government can take them away. So if the Congress were to declare tomorrow there is no First Amendment, there is no freedom of speech, then there would be no First Amendment, and there would be no freedom of speech, and we would not have that right, because the positivists presume that what the government giveth, the government can taketh away.
I think that is such an important principle, because I think that is exactly what we're seeing in all these attacks on religion. For instance, we're just a month away now for the Supreme Court arguments on the Ten Commandments cases.
Sure.
And I think there are secularists who want to make our country a different country, one that is a legal positivist society that doesn't recognize that our rights come from God, not from the government. And I see that war, when we see Christmas and all these things going on, to me that is really what is being attempted to happen, a wholesale change of our country and our founding and what we are. What makes us unique is that we don't think our rights come from government. We think that our liberties come from God, and no government can take those away.
Well, the war, unfortunately, has very deep roots, and I hate to say this, but not everyone who you would think is on our side in the war is truly on our side. The president gave a wonderful inaugural address talking about freedom coming from the author of liberty, which is basically what I have argued here about our freedoms come from God.
Right.
But the president has also claimed the power to lock people up and throw away the key by declaring them enemy combatants. You see, not by some jury deciding that they've done wrong, no one could object to that, but by just a declaration. That violates the natural law when he does that. That shows that those who go to Washington believing in the natural law, after they're in Washington for a while, become positivists, because they think that by signing a piece of paper or enacting a statute, they can affect any change they want, forgetting that some of our rights are natural and can't be taken away.
Well,
the Supreme Court, of course, rejected the president's argument that he could lock up an American and throw away the key by a vote of 8-1. And the strongest opinion written by the 8 members of the court who voted against the president was written by the only true believer in the natural law on the court, also its most conservative member, Justice Antonin Scalia, who said, you know, war is not a blank check to take these rights away from us. If you've got a beef with this guy, Jose Padilla, charge him with a crime, prosecute him and let him defend himself. But you can't take his rights away by fiat.
Well, and I think your book, most conservatives who read your book will like and agree with much. Probably the part where you would have some debate with some conservatives, at least, would be over the issue of whether the Patriot Act has gone too far and how
right.
far it's gone. What do you say to those who say, for instance, that all the Patriot Act was doing was giving law enforcement the same tools that they had against organized crime?
Well, I need to give you a little bit of history. I don't know how much time we have before our next break. But
we have 3 minutes.
Oh, good. Let me start then. Remember when we were colonists and the king wanted to raise money and the Parliament enacted the Stamp Act, and that meant you had to put one of the British government's stamps on any document in your house, whether it was playing cards or a poster you were going to nail to a tree or a deed or a mortgage or a lease. How did the king determine whether or not you had stamps in your documents? He sent the soldiers to your house. And how did the soldiers get into your house against your will? Parliament authorized them to write their own search warrants. Now, we fought a revolution over this. We wanted, of course, we wrote the Constitution, and in the Constitution, we prohibited self-written search warrants. We said that we so value the right to privacy, we so value that a person's house is their castle. The only way the government can get in against their will is by presenting evidence of criminality to a judge, a neutral judge, not a part of the government, who, if agreed, she or he will sign the search warrant. For 230 years, we enjoyed that right to privacy. Guess what the Patriot Act allows, my friends? It allows federal agents to write their own search warrants. Now, you may say, well, this is outrageous. If I am the victim of a self-written search warrant, you know, I may go to Point of View, I may go to Fox News, I may go to the New York Times and tell them what happened. Well, you can't. Because the Patriot Act makes it a crime for you to tell anyone that you have been the target of a self-written search warrant. You can't tell your spouse or your neighbor or your friend or the media or a lawyer. So right on its face, the Patriot Act violates the Fourth Amendment, which prohibits self-written search warrants, and the First Amendment, which prohibits laws interfering with the freedom of speech.
Now, isn't there, though, again, I have actually studied it slightly, but I don't have it memorized. Isn't in the Patriot Act there a right, though, for that person to come before a judge? I mean, it's not a search warrant situation that is forever where they don't come before a jury, even though they might be written out by the...
The only way you can challenge one of these self-written search warrants is if the information acquired from it is used in a prosecution against you. If you are not prosecuted as a result of whatever information they've obtained, you'll never even know they've obtained it. I mean, the Patriot Act, as you probably know, allows the government to read your mail before you do. It allows your government to go to your lawyer's office and read your files and prohibits your lawyer from telling you. It allows the government to go to your bank and read your banking records and prohibits the bank from telling you. Unless the government prosecutes you on the basis of the information it acquires against you, you'll never even know that it is violating your rights in the pre-Patriot Act.
Judge, hang on 1 second. We do have to take a break here at the bottom of the hour. Our guest today is Judge Andrew Napolitano, and we're talking about his book, Constitutional Chaos.
You are listening to Point of View. For materials offered during the program, please write to Point of View, Post Office Box 30. That's Box 30, Dallas, Texas 75221, zip 75221. Or call our toll-free number, 1-800-347-5151. That's 1-800-347-5151. The opinions expressed on Point of View do not necessarily reflect the views of the management or staff of this station. Point of View will continue after this.
This is Newsbreak. Al-Qaeda militants in Iraq blasting Sunday's elections as, quote, an American game. The group's internet statement vows to continue its holy wars. Meanwhile, Iraqis are waiting for the votes to be tallied. More than 60% of the country's registered voters went to the polls. Arab TV network Al Jazeera is airing footage of an insurgent group firing a missile on a British transport plane which crashed yesterday near Baghdad. 10 British servicemen are missing and believed dead. Senator Hillary Clinton says she's fine after collapsing during a speech at the Amherst Chamber of Commerce in New York. It happened after she announced she was not feeling well. Execution of convicted Connecticut serial killer Michael Ross likely on hold again. His attorney has formally requested a U.S. District Court judge to stay Ross's execution. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 47 points. The NASDAQ is plus 22. More news at USARadio.com. I'm Alan Stone.
It sends fear through all who feel its presence. It's not normal or natural. It's chaotic. It's explosive. It's diarrhea. Make peace with your body with Imodium. It calms the chaos, often in just one dose. Imodium soothes, settles, and sends those monsters packing. Imodium AD. Make peace with your body. Use only as directed.
Hi, this is Florence Henderson with a question for denture wearers. Are you confident enough of your breath to get so close to people you can whisper? Polident kills 99.9% of the bacteria that cause denture odor. Brushing can leave behind millions of bacteria. For real confidence, brush and soak with Polident every single day. There's even 3-minute Polident. Polident kills 99.9% of odor-causing bacteria brushing alone can miss.
USA Radio Network News. In spite of the fact that Target banned kettles, the Salvation Army had a record Christmas with its Red Kettle campaign. Donations at $94.3 million today. Major George Hood explaining the loss of collections from in front of Target regained through donations given elsewhere.
With the loss of Target money of about $9 million, we regained it and exceeded that in the 2004 Christmas campaign.
Hood going on to tell USA Radio Network, the Salvation Army believes the increased media attention to Target's actions actually help people focus on the need to donate.
The truth of the matter is we didn't do too much any differently than we have historically. We put kettles on the streets, but the American public responded in such a powerful way to the loss of the Target locations. It's just astounding.
Because of the fact that several regions have yet to report final figures, the 2004 campaign could total over $95 million. Alan Stone on the USA Radio Network.
If you gave away 80 cents today, would it make a difference? It would to an innocent child in Latin America or Africa, where 80 cents a day can mean life itself. You can make a difference. Call now to learn how much 80 cents a day can provide. Within 10 days, you'll receive information and a photo of a child who needs your help. So please call Christian Children's Fund now at 1-800-390-9779. That's 1-800-390-9779.
When you're mired in debt, you're not living. You're simply existing just to make those monthly payments. Credit counselors can change that. We'll negotiate a repayment plan with your creditors so you can avoid bankruptcy. At the same time, we'll help you set up a budget and make better use of your income. It's time to put on the post-debt glasses and focus on your post-debt life. So call 877-317-2828. Consultation's free. Call 877-317-2828.
You are listening to Point of View. The opinions expressed on Point of View do not necessarily reflect the views of the management or staff of this station. And now, here again is John Clement.
And with me on the panel today is Kelly Shackelford at the Liberty Legal Institute. And our guest today is Judge Andrew Napolitano. And he has written a book entitled Constitutional Chaos, What Happens When the Government Breaks Down Its Own Laws. And if you'd like to get some information about his book and about Thomas Nelson Publishing or what have you, you can go to our website, which is www.pointofview.net. And just click on the author spotlight, and you will see the cover of the book right there, and you get some information about it. Judge, we were talking about constitutional protections, and one thing I've always wondered about: does the Constitution protect a person or only a citizen of the United States of America?
That is a terrific question, and it's one that has been grossly misunderstood both by the government, which argues one way, and some of the victims of the government's behavior. The Constitution protects persons, and it doesn't distinguish among citizens or non-citizens. That's the reason, if you will, when Castro empties his jails, or empties his mental institutions and puts people on rickety boats and sends them towards the Florida Keys, that the Coast Guard meets them midway. Because once they are on American soil, because they are human beings, persons, they are entitled to the same, pardon me, they are entitled to the same protection as the rest of us. The Constitution makes no distinction. Now, as a practical matter, the Congress has enacted statutes, and the courts have upheld these statutes, which have regulated the manner in which aliens are treated because they come here as our guests. That is, certain conditions can be put on their coming here. We can turn you away at our shores if you've committed a crime. We can turn you away at our shores if you have a bomb in your pocket. We can turn you away at our shores if you've stated you're coming here to harm us. But for the most part, once people are here, and if they're ever here against their will, meaning they are being confined, it doesn't matter that they are citizen or non-citizen because the rights go to persons.
Well,
one of the reasons persons was written into the 14th Amendment was because the drafters of the 14th Amendment in the aftermath of the Civil War did not know how the future would treat freed slaves, because there were people, wrongfully and immorally, who believed that the slaves were not persons, so or that the slaves were not would not become citizens. So in order to address this, they use the word persons.
Well, what's interesting about this, again, is falling back to your natural law and discussion, is that, again, this country, and if you look in the Old Testament, you'll see over and over again references from the Lord about protecting and treating favorably those who are foreign, those who are aliens, treating the least protected among us as like they were made in the image of God. And that's exactly what our law does, because, again, I think of really where our country comes from. Judge, I wanted to bring up this issue of judges and how this happens. I mean, we do my group does a lot of religious freedoms cases, and we testified recently before the Senate and filed a document, a 51-page document of just case after case after case.
Right.
In fact, the listeners, if they want, they can get it from our website at libertylegal.org. And just print it out, share it in their Sunday school, whatever. But what you see in this document is that not only are these things happening, but judges are affirming these things. And what I want to know is, you know, give some people some examples. You have so many in your book, but give a couple of how even innocent people can basically, be railroaded through the system, and the judge just goes right along with it. I think of the Janet Reno examples that you gave, the Tulia defendants in Texas, whichever ones you think are good. But
I'll start with a very simple one, and again, it's one of the reasons I wrote the book. We talked about this a little while ago, because so many Americans today have so much more contact with the government than was the case before 9/11, as the government understandably looks for the bad guys among us. Americans come in contact with agents of the government. Now, just think of this. You and I are having a conversation. We assume that each of us is telling the truth, that I am truthfully telling you what I understand to be the history of our country and the state of our laws, and you are asking me pointed questions. I mean, neither of us is going to go to jail for anything we say in this conversation. But Martha Stewart had a conversation with two FBI agents. She wasn't under oath. It wasn't in front of a judge. It wasn't in front of a grand jury. She wasn't in a courtroom. It was a conversation like we're having now. During the course of that conversation, one of the FBI agents lied to her, and she lied to one of the FBI agents. She's in jail because of the words she uttered. The FBI agent is still an FBI agent and obviously is not in jail. Now, why is that? Why can the government lie to you with impunity and induce you to rely on the lie to your detriment, but yet if you mislead or lie to the government, you can go to jail? Are FBI agents more morally superior than the rest of us? Aren't they bound by the same laws of common decency and moral behavior and criminal code as the rest of us? But the government doesn't see it that way. It lets its agents and employees lie to the people whose tax dollars pay the salaries of those agents and employees, but it imprisons people who lie right back.
Well, and what's interesting about that is maybe this is another book, like you need something else to write. But
I'm about to write another book.
Great. I've got one for you, which follows your same theme, which is the very point you're making in the criminal law is what our law has already established through court decisions, not because the people did it, with regard to a civil rights suit. And that is that the government is considered immune in lawsuits, which I think is just unbelievable. We left England because we didn't believe these ideas that the king can do no wrong, that everybody is subject to the law, even those in authority above us. They have to follow the same laws that we do, and yet we've got immunity for, let's say, my doctor makes a mistake, and he decides when he makes a mistake that he shouldn't be responsible. He's trying to do his best. Well, I can sue him for negligence,
right,
or whatever.
You have hit on a subject that is a raw nerve with me, because as you know from reading my book, it's one of the suggestions I make to remedy this, and you're 100% on the mark. If your neighbor runs over your garden or your dog, or if your doctor leaves his scalpel in your belly, or if a corporation pollutes the stream that runs near your house and it gets into your well and into your family's bellies, you can sue all of those people. But
that's
if
right.
A government agent runs over your garden or your dog, or a government doctor leaves a scalpel in your belly, or the government pollutes the stream, or if FBI agents break down your door in the middle of the night with a defective search warrant or with no search warrant, or if the FBI prosecutes you, as it did to Salvati in Boston, knowing that you are innocent, but doing so to curry favor with a mobster who doesn't like you because you haven't paid a $400 debt to him, you can't sue the government, because the government has enacted statutes, we call them sovereign immunity, which says that if an agent of the government is using his best judgment and his discretion in the course of his work, then he and the government are immune from suit. Now, think about it. Of course they were using their discretion when they broke down your door. Of course they were using their discretion when they decided to prosecute this guy knowing that that he was innocent. But it's just unfair that you can't sue them. And if we allowed government agents to be sued, the way we allow employees of corporations to be sued, the corporation actually pays the jury award, that would stop this stuff overnight. I mean, if you could sue an FBI agent because he broke down your door illegally in the middle of the night, if you could sue the FBI agent directly, if he thought he might lose his house or his income as a result of committing a crime against you, he'd stop and wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean, we know we all need accountability. And if any of us are unaccountable, we know what kind of actions will eventually be engaged in by those who have no accountability. And this is a huge point of mine, and I'm glad, you know, Judge Napolitano is, of course, on top of it, too. But the idea that you know, citizens are treated differently, that, as he said, you know, the government can drive over, my yard or destroy my property, and they're immune, while if my neighbor did it, they're responsible. It's obscene. That's not what our country was founded upon. The government and every person in this country should be subject to the laws, and each person, whether they're a government official or not, should be accountable for their actions.
Absolutely. I mean, it should, as I say in the first line of the book, it should be against the law to break the law. Unfortunately, it's not. But that doesn't mean that those who break the law should go unpunished. You know, if you work for a corporation and you break the law, you lose corporate immunity. That is, the corporation can't indemnify you any longer. So if you work for the government and break the law, you expose your own personal assets to the mercy of the jury that will hear the case of the person who was harmed by you breaking the law. The same principle should apply to the government. That would bring government employees into a state of obeying the law overnight if they thought they'd lose their homes by the criminal acts that they commit.
All right, let's open up our telephone lines at 1-800-351-1212. That's 1-800-351-1212 to give you an opportunity to talk to the judge. You know, you call the coach, this is the judge. He is Judge Andrew Napolitano. The name of his book is Constitutional Chaos. 1-800-351-1212.
Your oldest has just turned driving age. Time to add him to your policy. So you get in your car, drive down to your insurance company, hunt for a space, double park, get a parking ticket, get in a fight with the meter maid, get thrown in jail, meet a guy named Wally. Wait a minute, this is just a bad dream. You've got Geico. You don't have to drive anywhere. You can do all that car insurance stuff online. Oh, that was a close one.
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO. Online at geico.com.
Get your love, they're Ovaltine. Hot and rich, see what we mean. Its creamy taste will make the scene. Hot milk mixed with Ovaltine.
Hot chocolate Ovaltine. Nutritious Ovaltine. I want my Ovaltine.
Lots of vitamins combined with minerals, so keep in mind, Swiss Miss Cocoa's far behind. Ovaltine is quite a find.
Hot chocolate Ovaltine, nutritious Ovaltine. I want my Ovaltine, rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Sometimes you feel like you just can't take the pressure anymore. The bills keep growing. Collectors are hounding you at home and work. You just want a way out, but without filing for bankruptcy. Where can you turn? Debt Relief of America. Debt Relief of America can negotiate with your creditors to eliminate up to 75% of your credit card debt. They have a proven track record for helping people wipe out the debt that is ruining their lives. They do all the work for you. Chris and Michelle D. from Georgia write, "Admitting failure is a very difficult thing to do. Our financial situation required drastic measures. We turned to Debt Relief of America. It was the best decision we made." If you're ready to wipe out up to 75% of your credit card debt, get more spending money every month, and get rid of the financial pressure, call for a free, no-obligation debt consultation. 800-499-4102. 800-499-4102. 800-499-4102. The information is free, and the call could change your life. 800-499-4102.
With the costs of medical care skyrocketing, one hospital stay can bankrupt a family. A catastrophic illness like the one that struck Pastor Franklin Battles can bring about financial ruin. Pastor Battles was in a battle for his life. Treatment was available, but the cost was too high. $57,000 in medical bills. Where would a minister get that kind of money? Where would you? Thankfully, Pastor Battles and his family were members of MediShare. It's the biblically based program that unites believers to share their medical costs and save money. And MediShare is reliable. Over the past decade, every eligible need has been met, and over $100 million in health care expenses have been paid. Don't let your family remain at risk. Check out MediShare and learn how you can save money and provide the best medical care for your family. Call and request your free program guide today at 800-PSALM-23. 1-800-PSALM-23. 1-800-PSALM-23.
Hi, this is Kelly Shackelford, Liberty Legal Institute, back co-hosting with John Clemens. And today our guest is Judge Andrew Napolitano. We're talking about his book, Constitutional Chaos. And, Judge, we've got an interesting caller right off the bat, and we want to go first to Dwayne from West Virginia. Dwayne?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, go ahead. It looks like you have a very interesting call and some comments to make, and you seem to maybe know a little bit about the subject that the judge is writing about.
Well, I've been a law enforcement officer for 23 and a half years. I've been a federal agent for the last 18 years. I was a state officer before that, and that's just absolutely erroneous in some of the propaganda that's been put out. Federal agents can be sued, and they can be sued personally also. I know that for a fact because I've been sued before during an arrest. A subject was resisting arrest and end up, basically, make a long story short, his elbow was broke because I was using an arm bar behind his back until I could get some back up there, which he was violently resisting. And he ended up suing me personally and suing the U.S. government. And the U.S. attorney finally had to make a determination whether they were going to indemnify me or not. But
what happened to the case?
Dwayne, judge wants to know what did happen in your case.
Ultimately, they did end up saying that they would represent me. And they sued for $100,000. Basically, it was heard by a federal district court judge in Nashville, Tennessee. And they end up, the defendant did not win what he wanted, but he got his $4,000 in medical costs. He got about $4,000 in attorney fees. And end up, the attorney basically said he lost $25,000 on the case, but the government did have to pay. So to say that we cannot be sued is absolutely not correct. And as far as the false statements, that is a false statement to a federal agent is a felony, but it's used as a last resort. And in my entire 18 years with the federal government, I've only made one case of a false statement against
Have you ever lied to anybody you've ever interrogated?
Yes, sir. We and there has to be a protocol and a certain procedure that you use.
Why is it right for you to lie to them, but a crime for them to lie to you? That's the point of the book.
Oh, well, I never have lied to anybody.
I'm sorry. I asked you
before
and
during an investigation, but I have never lied to them, because then if it comes out, the U.S. attorney will drop the case on you.
Okay. Well, if you use, let me take that back. If someone alleges that you have used excessive force on an individual, that violates a specific statute which gives them a right to sue.
Yes, sir.
But if you prosecute someone you know is innocent, there's no specific statute that you have violated, and there's very little way that that person can sue you as long as you can show that you thought you were doing the right thing at the time. So we're really comparing apples with oranges. And I accept your correction because
I disagree, because if you commit, you've got two or three things hanging over your head. If you do something illegal, you know you can be fired for it. Also, you can personally be sued and have punitive action taken against you. In the case of John Salvati, in my book, it was behavior activity.
Sure. In the case of John Salvati, if you get a chance to read my book, you'll find it was J. Edgar Hoover himself who condoned the FBI prosecuting this guy knowing that he was innocent. So there's no way those guys were going to be fired, because their ultimate boss was in on the scheme. And
well,
at the present time where Mr. Salvati served 30 years in jail for a crime he didn't commit.
On top of that, we're looking at probably less than 1% of all activities. And you could say the same thing about any business, whether it's bad doctors or bad airline pilots that we know about or whatever. And I just think that you're way exaggerating what can be done and the illegalities that apparently you're alluding to that are committed by federal agents. It's just not, it doesn't happen. I've been in it this long, and I know that that's just not the rule of thumb.
Have you read my book?
No, sir, but I'm a big fan of yours.
It's nice to be interrogated and disagreed by with a fan of mine. I'm very wrong on this particular issue.
Well, and you know, let me ask you something, Judge, because I think maybe part of the misunderstanding, we're obviously talking about the violations. I don't think you're saying, and you tell me if I'm wrong, that you're saying that most federal officers, you know, are breaking the law or misusing the law.
You know, my book is really about a very small percentage of people. Most federal officers that I know are in the category of the caller, very decent, honorable individuals who, in fact, not only don't break the law, but risk their lives to uphold the law. But, you know, when a plane lands, it's not news. When a plane crashes,
right,
it's news. So I write the book about the bad guys. I'm not suggesting that this is a large group, but it is a statistically significant group, because as long as it affects the rights of anyone, as long as the rights of anyone can be dissipated because of some rotten apple in the bunch, then the rights of all of us are in jeopardy.
And you're saying
all law enforcement people were like the phone caller, we wouldn't have this problem, and I wouldn't have had a book.
Well, and you're saying that just when it does happen, when the few people do take that kind of action, there should be an ability for the citizen to take recourse against that individual for their abuse of the law.
Exactly.
Judge, you know, most Americans live their lives in the bounds of civility and law abiding, and you know, except for an occasional speeding ticket or parking ticket, the only judges most of us ever come in contact with are you on Fox News or Judge Judy or Judge Wapner or people like that. We're never involved in the criminal justice system. And yet, you know, we maintain an attitude that even the hint of impropriety, even the allegation or the indictment against somebody, and I know Michael Jackson, for example, Michael Jackson, deep down in my heart of hearts, I want this guy to be locked away. And I know he has not had his day in court yet. And yet, what the media tells me and what I think about this man, I want him locked up.
Well, I commend you for your intellectual honesty. I think a lot of people want him locked up. I mean, deep down in my heart, I say that the evidence of his guilt is overwhelming. But he is entitled to a fair trial like the rest of us. You could not be on the jury in that case, and I could probably not be the judge in that case because of our predisposition to reject, to find repellent the type of behavior that he has engaged in. But that is not to deny him the right to a fair trial. It's funny you should mention Jackson, because, of course, I'm going to be covering the Jackson case till I'm blue in the face in the next few weeks.
For years to come.
Oh, God. from your lips to God's ears. We don't know how long it's going to go.
Yeah, right. The other attitude, and I know many of us have this, is this hanging mentality, you know, whether it be people like Michael Jackson or Leah Fastow, Andrew Fastow, you know, Martha Stewart, for example. You want them, I think the general public almost wants them to fall from grace, wants them to be dethroned, so to speak. There is that hanging mentality out there, isn't there?
There is that mentality. There is the view that anybody that has succeeded, whether it's a Martha Stewart or a Michael Jackson, should be knocked down a peg. They must have done something wrong in order to succeed. Now, in the case of each of them, the crime with which they are charged has nothing to do with their success. She's accused of lying about a very small stock sale, and he's accused of absolutely unspeakable acts on a series of young boys, only one of whom is the victim in this particular case. I think this urge to want to knock people off the pedestal is a part of our dark side. I think it's a species of envy, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have it. I have it. I think we have to strive to repress it, just like we would strive to repress any urge toward violence or sin. And we must treat people as equals before the law and as entitled to a fair trial, no matter what they're accused of.
Right.
Now, having said that, it's tough to do with Michael Jackson, because until he was charged with this crime, he flaunted this kind of behavior. I don't mean the criminal behavior, but I mean the intimacy with young boys. So we'll see where the jury goes.
And standing on the hood of his limousine coming out of court, I mean, if I were his attorney, I would say, hey, Michael, you know, cool it, you know?
That's why he's on his third attorney, because he wouldn't listen to what the first were saying. Either this third one lets him get away with it, or has finally talked some sense into him. I mean, he walked into the courtroom this morning in an ordinary way, but we'll see what happens.
You know, his last court appearance is like a pep rally or something like that.
Yes.
Our guest today here on Point of View, and we do invite you to call. All of our lines are jammed up right now because so many people do want to talk to Judge Andrew Napolitano. But as soon as during the next hour of Point of View, we will release some phone calls and give you an opportunity to call in, talk about his book, Constitutional Chaos. What happens when the government breaks its own laws? It is published by Thomas Nelson. And if you'd like to get some information about constitutional chaos in the judge, you can go to our website, www.pointofview.net. Click on Author Spotlight, and it's right there.
Across the nation, this is Point of View. For materials offered during the broadcast, please write to Point of View, Post Office Box 30. That's Box 30, Dallas, Texas, 75221. Zip 75221. Or call our toll-free number, 1-800-347-5151. Point of View will continue after this. Point of View is produced by the National Center for Freedom and Renewal and is supported by your tax-deductible contributions.
I was deep in pepperoni pizza when I saw a damsel in distress. Either she'd seen a ghost or it was heartburn. She needed something fast, so I gave her Pepcid Complete. Only Pepcid Complete works on heartburn in two ways. It starts to neutralize acid on contact and keeps heartburn from coming back all day or all night. I shared my Pepcid and she shared her cannoli. Pepcid Complete. Just one and heartburn's done. Use as directed.
If staying healthy is about the choices you make, you're about to make an important one. Which vitamin E to take? Larry King here to tell you about Advanced Protection Estuary, a new advanced form of vitamin E. Advanced because Estuary's antioxidant strength is protected. Advanced because it's readily absorbed. So do what I do. Choose the Advanced Protection of Estuary, new from the makers of Ester C. Are you getting Advanced Protection from your vitamin E?
Look for Ester E at Walgreens, GNC, and everywhere vitamins are sold.
U.S. USA Radio Network News, Alan Stone reporting. President Bush working the phones today, discussing the Iraqi elections with other world leaders. White House spokesman Scott McClellan calling the weekend elections a victory for freedom and praising the oft-criticized Iraqi security forces.
We believe that the Iraqi security forces did do a good job in helping to provide a secure environment for the elections to take place. There's still much to do to help train and equip those Iraqi security forces, and we're going to be there every step of the way.
65% of all women eligible to vote in Iraq did so Sunday. Rich Galen, a former spokesman for the Coalition Provisional Authority, says this should be no surprise because Kurdish women have taken leadership roles for years.
In the north, women are used to running things because Saddam killed so many Kurdish men that in some villages there are only women to run things, so they're used to it.
French President Jacques Chirac hailing Sunday's historic election during a phone call with the president today. A French spokesman said Chirac called the election, quote, an important step in the political reconstruction of Iraq. Al-Qaeda's organization is vowing to continue its holy war and is slamming the elections held over the weekend. House Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi vowing to fight President Bush's plans to reform Social Security in a so-called pre-bundle. Pelosi attacking Bush's call to partially privatize the federal entitlement system. The Dow's up 59, the NASDAQ's plus 23. USA Radio Network News.
Ephesians 4:28 calls believers to share with those in need. And that's exactly what MediShare does when it unites believers together to share their healthcare costs and save money. An average MediShare family saves $2,000 per year in healthcare costs. Many Christians worry that a catastrophic illness or single hospital stay could drive them to bankruptcy. But members of MediShare have peace of mind. Over the past 10 years, MediShare members have shared over $100 million in medical bills, and every eligible need has been met. To find out more, call MediShare and request your free program guide. There's no obligation. Call toll-free 1-800-PSALM-23. That's 1-800-PSALM-23. Toll-free 1-800-PSALM-23. Call MediShare today to find out more at 1-800-PSALM-23. 800-PSALM-23.
Senator Hillary Clinton's office says she's fine after collapsing during a speech in Amherst, New York. She fainted while talking to the Amherst Chamber of Commerce after announcing that she was not feeling well. Newsweek contributing editor Eleanor Cliff says this may be a warning sign to the senator that she needs to pay attention to her health.
Politicians and women in particular may feel like they're invincible and they don't want to disappoint anybody and they can't say no at the last minute. This may be a warning sign to Hillary Clinton as she embarks on an ambitious race to get reelected to the Senate.
A trial underway in Charleston, South Carolina, where lawyers are expected to claim that the antidepressant Zoloft was responsible for causing a 14-year-old South Carolina boy to kill his grandparents. The remnants of last weekend's winter weather that pounded the southeast is still being felt by thousands of Georgians who remain without electricity. And after a tough week, United Airlines got some good news today as the airline's pilots agreed to take a pay cut. This is USA Radio Network News.
It's ironic. They're called answering machines, but they never give you answers. Oh, sure, they tell you so-and-so isn't here right now, but you have no idea where they went or when they'll be back. Of course, with GEICO, you won't talk to an answering machine. They have thousands of car insurance specialists standing by, so you always get answers from a real live person. No wondering, no waiting, no irony.
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO, 1-800-947-AUTO.
The defending champion New England Patriots and the Philadelphia Eagles both arriving in Jacksonville, Florida Sunday. Preparation for next weekend's Super Bowl at Alltel Stadium. Eagles quarterback Donovan McNabb says the Super Bowl, the ultimate goal of any football player.
I mean, this is what it's all about. This is why you go in the backyard throwing, playing catch with your dad, playing catch with your friends. You know, you spend extra time in the weight room, spending extra time, you know, out on the football field running and doing different drills to get to this point.
Patriots coach Bill Belichick says his team is certainly not overlooking the NFC champs.
We have great respect for their football team. They've led the NFC pretty much from wire to wire. I think Andy has done an outstanding job there, and we've seen a lot of them from through the years, and particularly in preseason last year in the regular season. You know, defensively, they've been the top team in the league for the last 5 years in pretty much every important category, points, third down conversions, red area, etc.
More news at USARadio.com. Alan Stone reporting, USA Radio Network News.
In the game of life, what's in your credit report can make all the difference in the world.
The Smith family going for a home loan. The referees are reviewing their credit report.
Wouldn't you like to know what's in your credit report before you apply for credit? Now you can. Log on to freecreditreport.com and get your credit report instantly online for free.
Upon further review, the loan is approved.
Be prepared for the biggest games of your life. Log on to freecreditreport.com. That's freecreditreport.com.
If staying healthy is about the choices you make, you're about to make an important one. Which vitamin E to take? Larry King here to tell you about Advanced Protection Ester E, a new advanced form of vitamin E. Advanced because Ester E's antioxidant strength is protected. Advanced because it's readily absorbed. So do what I do. Choose the Advanced Protection of Ester E, new from the makers of Ester C. Are you getting advanced protection from your vitamin E?
Look for Ester E at Vitamin World and health food stores everywhere.
Across America, live, this is Point of View. And now, John Clement.
And joining me on the panel today is Kelly Shackelford at the Liberty Legal Institute, and our guest today is the author of the book entitled Constitutional Chaos: What Happens When the Government Breaks Its Own Laws. He is Judge Andrew Napolitano. He is a Fox News senior judicial analyst and perhaps one of the most recognizable faces in the criminal justice system and in entertainment industry and on the television news and in journalism. And we're taking phone calls from all across America, from Pennsylvania, California, Indiana, Ohio, and also from Kansas. Let's go to Willie, if we can, calling from Kansas. Hi, Willie. You're on the air now with Judge Napolitano.
Hello, Judge.
Hello, Willie. How are you, my friend?
Fine. First of all, I'd like to thank the station for being there and being able to expose things. It's not so much that I have a question. It's a comment that you made. You probably are aware of what a pro se litigant is, correct?
I sure am. That's a person that represents themselves in court without any lawyer.
Okay.
Drives judges crazy.
And I won my federal lawsuit against three police officers who arrested me without probable cause. And I took a judge to issue and a lawyer who was a city lawyer, and I won the suit. And what I'm saying is this, is that there are ways, if a judge is acting outside the job description or the lawyer or the officers, they are suable. And I want to thank you for exposing some of the stuff that's going on, because in nearly every city I go into, I'm meeting people who have either been beat up by police officers or their lawyers are not doing their jobs as representing them, pulling much money from them, but not doing things for them as they should be.
Well, I thank you very much for that comment. You're a very courageous young man. It's almost impossible to sue the government. It is really almost impossible to do so without a lawyer, because the government lawyers will run rings around you. You must have had a very patient, indulgent judge who saw through the government's argument and was able to perceive that you were the victim of an injustice.
Well, it went to
arresting
the appeal.
You without probable cause is a crime. And police who do that not only should be made to compensate you for the harm caused to you, they should be prosecuted for violating the law they have sworn to uphold.
Let me point out something as well, in that you mentioned about suing judges. You can't sue a judge. I mean, the judges are completely immune.
Judges are completely immune.
You can sue the officers, but let me be clear. In order for you, which is incredible as a pro se litigant that you did this, in order to win your case against a government official, you have to prove that no reasonable official anywhere would have been confused about the fact that they were violating your clearly established constitutional rights.
Well, that's right. All the benefit of the doubt is given to the cops, and none of it is given to you. So you must have done an extraordinary job. You must have been full of grace in order to take on the government and beat it as a non-lawyer.
And they must have done something very, very egregious that any normal person would have understood would be a clear violation.
1-800-351-1212. That's 1-800-351-1212. Next up is Ron in Ohio. Ron, you are involved in the criminal justice system?
Well, I'm a retired police officer. I retired after about 20 years on the police department. And I guess my question is, or my statement is, I would disagree with your that there shouldn't be immunity. If everybody, number one, I want to say that if a policeman is wrong and he does something criminal, I mean, I would be the first one to prosecute him. I don't mean the policeman should be able to hide behind immunity. But
yeah, but your attitude, which is a commendable one, and it's one that I agree with, unfortunately is not the attitude of your superiors. I don't mean cops on the beat who risk their lives and their bodies to save us. I mean those behind desks that make decisions. They don't want to prosecute the rotten apples in the bunch.
Then they should be prosecuted.
Well, and I agree with you. I mean, I agree with you. You are the guys that are the true heroes. It's the lawyers behind the desks that work for the government that are making these decisions to let bad guys get off the hook. I mean,
well,
I was once walking out of Mass on Washington Square Park in Lower Manhattan, which in the post-Giuliani years is a clean, happy, family-oriented place on a Sunday morning. And a very scruffy, disgusting guy comes up to me and says, "Smoke, smoke," which in the language of the streets means, "Do you want to buy marijuana?" I tell him to get lost. And he and his buddy come back and say the same thing to me. After about two or three tries, I use some language I probably shouldn't have used, having just left Mass. One of them comes within about 2 inches of my nose, turns over the lapel of his coat to reveal his New York Police Department Detective Lieutenant's badge, and says to me, "Have a nice day, Your Honor."
Did
Your Honor, they knew exactly who I was. I don't think they were there targeting me. They were after somebody. They saw me walking out of church and cutting across the park. Now, what were they doing?
Judge,
they were selling drugs in the presence of children. They were drug dealers who should have been prosecuted. They just happened also to be cops.
Now, Judge, what's the difference between that and a sting?
Well, the only difference between that and a sting is the sting, they've targeted someone. They didn't know I was going to be there. I don't know who they were targeting. They just happened to recognize my face when I was walking out of Mass. But they were there targeting somebody, because I'm telling you, this was not an environment in which you would expect drugs to be bought or sold. There are literally dog runs in there where there are kids playing with the dogs. There are a lot of young families. There are young couples wheeling babies in baby carriages. It's about as family-oriented, criminally inhospitable environment as you can find in a public place in New York City on a Sunday morning, and there were the four of them. Now, of course, I called up Ray Kelly, who's the commissioner of police. What's going on here? He said, "Give me their numbers." I said, "Well, how can I get you their badge numbers?" I mean, they showed me their badges in a flash, and then they bolted because they knew that I would be calling you. You're my buddy. I said, "Ray, what crimes were being committed in the neighborhood? Because these four clowns, instead of enforcing the law, were out there breaking it."
Wow. Ron, is that ever, have you heard of stories like that? Ron in Ohio?
I mean, I guess you hear them. I was a policeman for 20 years. I've never been around anybody that did that kind of stuff. I would not have associated with anybody that did that. But let me give you the flip side of this.
Sure.
I was involved in an arrest where a person that I didn't charge, I didn't touch, I didn't testify against, nor did I talk to, sued me for abuse of force type of a charge. We went through in the interim between the time that this happened, the time we went to court, I received a letter from the insurance company that the city that I worked for had, telling me that if I had overstepped my boundaries, I was on my own. And we went to a federal judge. Now, for that year, I was sick. I didn't know what was going to happen to me. I didn't know what was going to happen.
Well,
I knew I didn't do anything wrong.
That is literally the flip side. That is a case which is not in my book, but which is another book, of litigation abuse. If you had no contact with this person, there should have been a way to weed out that case against you before you had the agita and the sleepless nights. They don't have the right to do that to you. Just as you don't have the right to arrest someone without probable cause, they don't have the right to sue you when you had nothing to do with them.
Well, when we finally got into a federal courtroom and I sat in the witness stand and testified as to what I saw, and the federal judge asked this lady, "Did this officer do anything to you?" And she said, "No."
She couldn't recognize you. That type of a confrontation should have occurred at the outset, so you didn't have that year of suffering.
Ron, if you could hang on just a second, I want to have Judge finish up with this. Our guest today is Judge Andrew Napolitano. The name of the book is Constitutional Chaos, and right now we're talking to Ron in Ohio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Pam Dauber. Are you falling behind in school or at work because you can't keep up with the huge volume of reading that's required? Do you feel like you're drowning in a sea of reading? Introducing IQ, the revolutionary reading and comprehension program. Today's world is supercharged and competitive, and the fact is, those that can process information efficiently will be the ones to get ahead. You see, the average person reads about 200 to 300 words per minute, but after only 12 easy 7-minute IQ sessions, many people move from reading 200 to 2,000 words per minute. Imagine what you could accomplish reading and comprehending at that speed. Don't let another day go by allowing your reading skills to hold you back. Call IQ today.
Call now. We'll send you the complete IQ computer program free for 30 days. That's 1-800-311-6473. You cover a nominal shipping fee, and the program is yours to use and evaluate for 30 days. Call now. 1-800-311-6473. That's 1-800-311-6473.
With the costs of medical care skyrocketing, one hospital stay can bankrupt a family. A catastrophic illness like the one that struck Pastor Franklin Battles can bring about financial ruin. Pastor Battles was in a battle for his life. Treatment was available, but the cost was too high. $57,000 in medical bills. Where would a minister get that kind of money? Where would you? Thankfully, Pastor Battles and his family were members of MediShare. It's the biblically based program that unites believers to share their medical costs and save money. And MediShare is reliable. Over the past decade, every eligible need has been met, and over $100 million in health care expenses have been paid. Don't let your family remain at risk. Check out MediShare and learn how you can save money and provide the best medical care for your family. Call and request your free program guide today at 800-PSALM-23. 1-800-PSALM-23. 1-800-PSALM-23.
You could be financially independent and never have to worry about money again. Hi, how in the world are you anyway? This is Andy Willoughby speaking for the 3-Step Plan. The 3-Step Plan is a business system designed to help families start their own home-based business. We are looking for a few people in this area who would like to earn between $500 and $5,000 a month working from home. If you like working with people with similar family values, you'll love the 3-Step Plan. For information, go to 3stepplan.com or call 800-879-5819. We will teach you everything you need to know to get your business off and running. You will need internet access, a telephone, and good people skills. Families from all over the nation are using the 3-Step Plan to make extra money, pay off bills, improve their lifestyle, and work from home. Check out the 3-Step Plan. Go to 3stepplan.com or call toll-free 800-879-5819. 800-879-5819.
879-5819. We're back. We have with us today Judge Andrew Napolitano, the Fox News senior judicial analyst, and talking about his book, Constitutional Chaos, What Happens When the Government Breaks Its Own Laws. And right now we have on the line Ron from Ohio. And Ron, before we even get back to you and the judge maybe finishing up this discussion, I want to say that one of the things that I think should have happened is that I think attorneys, like everybody else, should be held accountable. And this guy who brought a suit against you on behalf of someone who never even had contact with you, to me, that attorney should have been personally disciplined as well.
Well, let me ask, Ron, was she represented by a lawyer?
Yes, sir, she was.
Well, the federal rules require that a lawyer investigate a case and certify that there's a sound basis before filing it. This lawyer obviously did not do that. So Ron, if he had laid out any legal fees on his own, or his insurance carrier, which apparently hired the lawyers in behalf of the city to defend Ron, would be entitled to getting their fees reimbursed from that lawyer personally because of his failure to investigate the case. Unfortunately, there's no cause of action for Agita. There's no cause of action for the torment that Ron suffered for a year, wondering and worrying what was going to happen about some mystery lawsuit, a case he had nothing to do with. But there is the knowledge that the federal federal rules, allow his legal fees to be reimbursed.
All right. Ron, I appreciate you calling in. Thank you so very much. 1-800-351-1212. Next up, let's go to Mike in California. Hi, Mike, you're on the air.
Hi. Thank
yes,
you.
Sir.
I had a question for the judge.
Yes, Mike.
I understand your premise about how law enforcement and the government should be held to the standards of the law. What about the situation where you have, say, emergency and law enforcement or even medical personnel are forced to break the speed limit in order to facilitate help to that person? How do we address that as far as breaking the law?
Actually, the case law allows anybody to break the speed limit in a case of medical necessity. In some cases, in some states, there's a statute. In some states, there's a judicial opinion. In all states, there's the common law, which is the law we inherited from England, which is sort of fills in the gaps where there is no statute and there is no specific case on point. And the common law would allow you to break a speed limit in order to bring a pregnant woman to the hospital or somebody who's bleeding to death to the emergency room. So that's not even considered breaking the law if you accelerate down the highway to save a life. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a cop going through a red light or the wrong way on a one-way street to meet his buddies for donuts. I'm not talking about a cop doing that to save somebody's life.
And I think, I think the judge's point here is, if I'm not mistaken, is that you, whatever the laws are, you just think they should apply the same to a government official as
well, absolutely, because the same law that allows a cop to go through a red light to save a human life allows you to go through a red light to save a human life. That's fair. That's applying the laws across the board. It's when the government looks the other way when its employees break the law that I have a problem with.
Judge, you know, during a time of war, and I know we talked about your opinion about the Patriot Act and what have you, the nation's criminal justice system during a time of war, war against terrorism, what we're involved in Afghanistan and now in Iraq, the criminal justice system is under tremendous strain to protect us in America from enemies, both foreign and domestic, in the war on terrorism. And many of us, in right or wrong, are willing to surrender some of our individual liberties if Uncle Sam can protect me and my family and my loved ones from terrorism.
I published a piece in the Baltimore Sun about two or three days before New Year's Eve, and it was reprinted in the Newark Star-Ledger and the New London Day, and it was called The Patriot Act Just Got a Whole Lot Worse. And the premise of my piece is that nobody surrenders their own liberty for a little bit of safety, because it doesn't work. When we give up some of our freedoms for more security, we don't get more secure, we get less free. We're always giving up somebody else's freedoms. Example, in World War I, the Attorney General at the time, A. Mitchell Palmer, engaged in the Palmer raids. He arrested over 1,100 Eastern European Jewish intellectuals from Baltimore all the way up to Boston. They were thrown in filthy jail cells. They weren't allowed to talk to lawyers. They weren't charged with a crime, and they were kept there for the duration of the war. In World War II, the military, pursuant to a secret order of FDR, eventually made public, arrested 110,000 Japanese Americans. Not Japanese, Japanese Americans, people born in the United States of America. One of them became a congressman, Congressman Bob Matsui. He just died 2 months ago. And kept them in camps in the desert. They lost their homes, they lost their businesses, they were separated from their families, never permitted to see a lawyer, never permitted to challenge their incarceration. In 1988, a Democratic Congress and the most Republican of presidents, Ronald Reagan, signed the Civil Liberties Act of 1988. It condemned the wartime incarcerations. It condemned the surrender of liberty for security. It compensated $20,000 apiece those who had been incarcerated in World War I and World War II and were still living. And it was said this would never be the policy of our government again. Guess what? We still haven't learned. Over 700 Arab Americans have disappeared from our streets since 9/11. Many have been tried in secret. Many have been deported to countries where they'll be tortured, where they have no family, where they have no livelihood, where they have no property. The offer of liberty for security is an offer of the devil. It hasn't worked. It only stigmatizes a small group of people, and when the crisis is over and we look back in horror, we say, oh, my God, how did we let that happen?
But, Judge, I have, as an individual, tremendous faith in our government, in Uncle Sam, in my country, and call me, you know, patriotic or what have you. I feel that if the government goes after somebody like that and sends them to Guantanamo, there's a reason for it.
Well, this violates basic principles of natural law, which is that the government can't take away your rights by fiat, by the president saying so, or by legislation, by the Congress declaring so, but only if you have violated the law and are prosecuted. So it violates the natural law, it violates the Constitution, which guarantees due process to all persons, and it basically doesn't work. I mean, when the government sends people to jail to silence them, the government needs to make an argument as to why it must do that. Remember, the Patriot Act was passed at 3 o'clock in the morning, that no member of Congress was permitted to read the Patriot Act before they voted on it?
I understand two members of Congress read this.
Say again?
I understand two members of Congress did read the Patriot Act.
One of them is now dead, Paul Wellstone.
That's right. That's right.
Shouldn't the government have to make the case? Shouldn't there be a public debate? Shouldn't we understand why the government, which has sworn to uphold our Constitution, needs to cut it in pieces in order to defend us?
Do you
the government
see
hasn't done that.
Do you see a difference, though, Judge, in somebody who is, for instance, captured on the field of battle, and then somebody who is captured, for instance, on the soils of the United States? Do you see that distinction, or do you?
Well, I do. If someone is captured on the field of battle, they are protected by the Geneva Conventions, whether they're wearing a uniform or not, because one of the Geneva Conventions addresses unlawful combatants. The other Geneva Conventions address lawful combatants. There were four conventions, four gatherings, four treaties, all of which were adopted by the United States Senate. And a treaty under the Constitution has the same place in the hierarchy of laws as the Constitution. So a treaty becomes the supreme law of the land. The president is not free to disobey a treaty. The president is not free to throw somebody in a hellhole and say, I'm not going to bring you before a judge or a tribunal just because you weren't wearing a uniform when this area is governed by the treaties that we've entered into. But of course I can see a difference between someone picked up, let's say, at O'Hare Airport versus someone picked up in Afghanistan.
Right. Right. Before I have to answer a lot of email, the other person was Russ Feingold. Is that correct?
Correct.
That's correct. It was Paul Wellstone of Minnesota and Russ Feingold, too.
Russ Feingold has actually, along with about 25 other liberal Democrats and 25 conservative Republicans in both houses of the Congress, proposed the SAFE, S-A-F-E Act, which is basically proposed by those who are horrified by what is in the Patriot Act, and it would basically gut the Patriot Act of its most offensive provisions. During his first term in office, President Bush threatened to use his veto power twice. Once was over a spending bill. The other was, if you ever pass the SAFE Act, I'll veto it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Our guest today here on Point of View is Judge Andrew Napolitano. The name of the book is called Constitutional Chaos, What Happens When the Government Breaks Its Own Laws. It is being published by Thomas Nelson, and you can get some more information about the judge's book by going to www.pointofview.net. Click on our author spotlight, and you'll get information about constitutional chaos and about Judge Andrew P. Napolitano. He is a Fox News senior judicial analyst, and we're going to be taking calls from all across America, calls coming in from Texas, California, Illinois, Kentucky, and Alabama, and we're going to be taking your phone calls at 1-800-351-1212. That is 1-800-351-1212, and we're going to be talking about what happens in America when the government breaks its own laws. And he documents all of this in his blockbuster book. It's called Constitutional Chaos, and our guest today is Judge Andrew Napolitano. We'll take a quick break and be right back.
You are listening to Point of View. For materials offered during the program, please write to Point of View, Post Office Box 30. That's Box 30, Dallas, Texas, 75221, zip 75221. Or call our toll-free number, 1-800-347-5151. That's 1-800-347-5151. The opinions expressed on Point of View do not necessarily reflect the views of the management or staff of this station. Point of View will continue after this.
This is Newsbreak. Iraqis now waiting for the votes to be counted after more than 60% of the country's registered voters went to the polls Sunday. More than 8 million voters turned out, despite suicide bombings that killed 35 people on Election Day. Al-Qaeda's group in Iraq denouncing Sunday's historic elections in Iraq as a, quote, American game. The group's internet statement blasts democracy as un-Islamic and vows to continue its holy war. Arab TV network Al Jazeera has aired a new video that may show a missile hitting a British transport plane. 10 servicemen are thought to be dead in that crash. Senator Hillary Clinton's office says she's fine after fainting during a speech in Buffalo, New York. She had previously told the crowd she was not feeling well, blamed it on a stomach virus. A federal judge ruling that the Guantanamo military tribunals for terrorism suspects are unconstitutional. Dow up 36, NASDAQ plus 19. More news at USARadio.com. I'm Alan Stone.
I'm here at Sam's Club, where small business owners are stocking up for their game day festivities at great warehouse club prices. There goes a restaurant owner with a cart full of appetizers, fresh meat, and paper goods. There's a caterer with meat and cheese trays and lots of beverages. And there's someone with a cool big screen TV. Whether for business or home, everything you need for game day is at Sam's Club. Visit samsclub.com to print your one-day guest pass or to find a club near you. Avoid a 10% service fee if you become a Sam's Club member today. Join the club. Sam's Club. We are in business for small business.
I was deep in pepperoni pizza when I saw a damsel in distress. Either she'd seen a ghost or it was heartburn. She needed something fast, so I gave her Pepcid Complete. Only Pepcid Complete works on heartburn in two ways. It starts to neutralize acid on contact and keeps heartburn from coming back all day or all night. I shared my Pepcid and she shared her cannoli. Pepcid Complete. Just one and heartburn's done. Use as directed.
Canadian archaeologist Russell Adams has walked into a sometimes vicious debate over the historical accuracy of the Old Testament, but in that process, he believes he has proven part of it. He and colleagues have unearthed information that points to the existence of the Bible's Kingdom of Edom. Their findings mean that scholars convinced that the Hebrew Old Testament is revisionist, fragmented history mixed with folklore and theology and outright propaganda may have to eat crow. References to the Kingdom of Edom, which is in modern-day Jordan, are woven throughout the Old Testament, indicating that the relationship with Israel was one of hostility and war. The team used a carbon dating method in an ancient copper mine and determined that Edom did indeed exist as a kingdom during the reign of David and Solomon over the powerful United Kingdom of Israel and Judah. Many historians and archaeologists had argued previously that David and Solomon were mere petty chieftains. Adam says he was not trying to prove the Bible, but to determine historical accuracy. Charlie Butts, USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. A consumer alert was recently reported in a leading consumer testing magazine. It warns, if you're sensitive to dust, avoid bagless vacuums. I would never make a bagless vacuum because they're filthy. My 8-pound Orrick XL is hypoallergenic. Try one free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200. You'll breathe easier knowing it's an Orrick XL.
Stop whatever you're thinking about right now and think about this. Have you put off getting life insurance because you think it might cost too much? Think again. With Garden State Life, policies are surprisingly inexpensive. You choose the amount of life insurance you can best afford, up to $150,000. And there's no medical exam. Ready to call Garden State Life now? Smart thinking. Call 1-800-497-7799 now. That's 1-800-497-7799. Not all products are available in all states. Not all amounts are available at all ages. Policies have limitations and terms under which they may be continued or discontinued.
You are listening to Point of View. The opinions expressed on Point of View do not necessarily reflect the views of the management or staff of this station. And now, here again is John Clemens.
In his book, Constitutional Chaos, Judge Andrew Napolitano tells us this. He says that when I arrived on the bench, I had impeccable conservative Republican law and order credentials. But then, when I left 8 years later, I was a born-again individualist after witnessing firsthand how the criminal justice system works to subvert and shred the U.S. Constitution. Strong words, Judge.
They are strong words and truly felt from the heart. You know, I was raised in a lower middle class, blue-collar, staunchly Roman Catholic, though Republican, household to believe that authority was never to be questioned. If the police were prosecuting somebody, they had a good reason to do it. If the government was enacting a law, it should just be conformed with, and you shouldn't question authority, you should follow it.
Sounds like my household.
Pardon me?
It sounds like the household I grew up
in. Yeah, well,
in.
A lot of us were raised that way,
yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that upbringing. It produced in me a strong attachment to conservative Christian values, many of which I still hold. But when I saw authority being abused, when I saw police lying, when I saw prosecutors charging for crimes they knew were not committed, when I saw the government spend half of its efforts to avoid and evade the Constitution rather than comply with it, it changed my mindset, and it was a sea change. You see, the Constitution doesn't give power. The Constitution restrains power. And the government seems to spend most of its time trying to wiggle its way around those restraints. And the rights guaranteed in the Constitution are simply that, my friends. They are guarantees. They are not arbitrary gifts from the government. They're not there when George Bush wants to enforce them and not there when he doesn't want to enforce them. They're not there just when the Republicans are in power and not there when the Democrats are in power. They are guarantees. The government is obligated to protect our natural rights. When it refuses to do so because it says somebody's the enemy of the state, somebody is so evil we can't even let them talk to a lawyer. I mean, that sounds like the kind of stuff that we heard in 1939 coming from Germany.
Right.
And it just won't do in the United States of America.
Right. Also on our panel today, Kelly Shackelford of the Liberty Legal Institute.
Why don't we go to next caller, Paula from Kentucky. Paula, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is Paula, and I thank you for taking my call. When I decided that God was calling me to homeschool my children because of peer pressure in the public school system, of course, nobody understood why I did it. They were all against it. They thought, you know, I was trying to keep my kids from actually learning. And I had done some deep research on homeschooling and found out the benefits of it and how my children could reap the benefits of college scores and everything. Anyhow, basically what I'm trying to get down to is when I went to the courtroom, because they filed truancy charges on me, my judge told me, I don't believe your God told you to homeschool your children. And he started laughing. Because I based it on the King James Version Bible. I said, I have the right to homeschool my children. I've done everything legal that I was supposed to do in Kentucky. I gave a letter to the director of pupil personnel.
Let me stop you here, and I can see why you were offended by what he did. Now, in Kentucky, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, the judges are popularly elected, meaning he has to stand or she has to stand for re-election. You should make that attitude, that secularist, anti-God attitude, known at the time that judge runs for re-election and force that person to defend that position.
Well, I kind of did that in the courtroom.
In a courtroom, a judge is a prince or a princess. I can tell you that from having presided over a courtroom for 8 years, and you're really not going to get away admonishing a judge there. In my own case, I had a lifetime appointment. Only New Jersey and Massachusetts have these lifetime appointments. In other states, you either have to be reappointed or you have to stand for re-election, and I'm pretty sure in Kentucky they stand for election. You should write a letter to an editor of a newspaper or have some Christian organization that agrees with you publicize this judge's views. I'm not saying the person's unqualified to be a judge, but they have a chip on their shoulder about those who are willing to state openly and publicly that they believe that in God and they believe that God directs their lives, and they should have to justify that chip.
And Paula, how did this turn out? I mean, have you been denied the right to home educate your own child?
Not only that, but I've been put in jail.
Well,
I was telling them that they were violating my civil rights and nobody in that courtroom would stand up for me.
Have you contacted, you know, there are a number of groups out there who would, consider representing you free of charge for that kind of a violation. I don't know if you've contacted those folks, but I would highly encourage you to do that because that is a very important right. It's as Judge Napolitano was talking about earlier, it's a natural right, a God-given right to educate your own child, and every state does recognize that, and you know, that kind of an abuse of authority needs to be challenged.
Well, they took my child out of my home, which was, she was 16 at the time. Now she's 17, and she's pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would strongly encourage you to make that phone call. Please do that right away. Let's go next up to Alice in Pennsylvania. Hi, Alice, you're on Point of View.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm against pornography, child abuse, legal and illegal, prostitution.
Prostitution.
But how just is it when the government agents to seduce weak and foolish men by posing as prostitutes or drug dealers on our streets? Are they not doing the same thing?
Of course they are. It's usually female on male. I suppose it could be the other way around. But if a female undercover officer dresses in a scanty way and goes into a neighborhood where she knows people are going to be looking for that and engages in conversation about having sex and some money transfers hands, and then she arrests the guy, she has solicited prosecution. She has committed a crime in an effort to find the weak, the unwary, or the criminally inclined.
Yeah.
See, one of the beauties of the American system is, and this is what separates us from fascist governments where they used to lock people up all the time because they believed they were criminally inclined, is we don't do that here. We let you commit the crime first because we believe so strongly in human liberty that we don't try and seek people out and say he was inclined to commit the crime. But there are police who, on their own or at the direction of their superiors, will go out and seduce people. You've given us one of the more outrageous and, I hate to say, common examples of that.
And one more thing. My children came in the house one day crying because some children had abused them. They didn't know these kids. Anyway, make a long story short, I called the police. I went to the neighbor's house to try to talk to the parents like mothers are supposed to do, like I thought they'd do. And these kids hollered from their door after I called the police and told the police that I had pushed them. Make a long story short, in the presence of my children, I was locked up. How just is that? And they told me one of the reasons is that I probably should have stayed in the house instead of going out.
What crime were you charged with?
Well, the kids said that I had kicked them. They hollered. But I found out that these kids were well known by the police because they had caused problems in the neighborhood.
Were you ultimately prosecuted or they let you go?
Well, I got a lawyer, thank God. How you work that out? I don't have much money, but I was able to get a lawyer. They dropped the charges, they say. I did have to pay $100 or something.
Yeah, they probably dropped the charges if you agreed not to sue them for illegally arresting you. That's typical.
They were supposed to. They were
it's typical
to
the way these cases will work is that if there is an illegal arrest, they'll get them assign a waiver in return for no prosecution. Of course, there's no crime that could be prosecuted. I would like to see those waivers challenged.
All right,
sounds like this lady did not do so.
Yeah. Let's go to Valerie in California. Valerie, you're on Point of View.
Yes, hello. I had a situation, it's been about 12 years now, where I had 6 attempts of murders on my life, one in which the person behind it is a high-profile doctor. And he was my fiancé as well as my therapist. And I didn't understand the rules and regulations of that wasn't ethical until after the incidences I had gone through caused me amnesia, in which I had law enforcement in one county, 4 officers pull over and question me, and when I mentioned the doctor's name, that's when they said she's going to resist arrest and beat me up to an unconscious state and broke bones in my face and so on and so forth, and allowed me to hemorrhage consistently and consecutively in the jail.
Valerie, I'll tell you what, we're right up against a break here. Hang on one second. We'll try to finish up your call and try to get some information to you. From our guest today, Judge Andrew Napolitano, name of his book is Constitutional Chaos. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
If your debt is out of control and you are buried with credit card bills, there's a secret you should know. Debt Relief of America can eliminate up to 75% of your credit card debt. That means principal and interest gone. Here's how it works. Credit card companies don't want the average consumer to know about special policies they have to help them recover on late bills. Debt Relief of America negotiates with the credit card companies on your behalf using these secret programs so that you can eliminate up to 75% of your debt. This is more than just a reduction in interest. This means your credit card bills are gone. They do all the work for you so you get the best possible settlement. Eliminate your late fees and avoid the stigma that comes from going bankrupt. Call now for your free, no-obligation professional debt relief consultation. Call for free information now. 800-499-4102. 800-499-4102. Wipe your debt clean. Call 800-499-4102. That's 800-499-4102.
If you're losing your hair, thinning, or even balding, then I have great news for you. Now you can have up to twice as much hair within 4 months guaranteed. Announcing Hair Advantage, the advanced hair regrowth formula that contains an active ingredient so effective that it was patented and approved by the FDA. With Hair Advantage, you'll see dramatic results in your very first month. The secret to Hair Advantage lies in a recent medical discovery that shows the majority of hair loss is due to the body's overproduction of DHT. Hair Advantage removes DHT from your scalp as the hair regrowth treatment starts regrowing new hair. In clinical studies, the majority of people regrew their hair, with almost half of those people experiencing moderate to dense hair regrowth. So call now for your risk-free trial, and you could experience new dense hair regrowth guaranteed. Hair Advantage is clinically proven, effective on men and women, and guaranteed to work. So call now toll-free, 1-800-862-1814. That's 1-800-862-1814. Call now, 1-800-862-1814.
You could be financially independent and never have to worry about money again. Hi, how in the world are you anyway? This is Andy Willoughby speaking for the 3-Step Plan. The 3-Step Plan is a business system designed to help families start their own home-based business. We are looking for a few people in this area who would like to earn between $500 and $5,000 a month working from home. If you like working with people with similar family values, you'll love the 3-Step Plan. For information, go to 3stepplan.com or call 800-879-5819. We will teach you everything you need to know to get your business off and running. You will need internet access, a telephone, and good people skills. Families from all over the nation are using the 3-Step Plan to make extra money, pay off bills, improve their lifestyle, and work from home. Check out the 3-Step Plan. Go to 3stepplan.com or call toll-free 800-879-5819. 800-879-5819.
If you go to our Point of View website, www.pointofview.net, and click on Author Spotlight, you'll get all the information you may need about Judge Napolitano's book entitled Constitutional Chaos: What Happens When the Government Breaks Its Own Laws. Valerie, I apologize. We can't get into the specifics of your case, but do you have a question for Judge?
Well, I wondered how I can go about getting my civil rights back. It seems that if I need to report a crime that's up to date, something that's going on at the time, I'm unable to have anything done responsibly by law enforcement.
If the government will not protect you for whatever reason, if the government refuses to take a report of criminal activity that you witnessed or of which you were the victim, you should report that to the federal authorities where you live, because their job is to make sure that the state people and the local and county people enforce the laws equally.
Okay, so that answers a lot of my questions. And I was told that until I'm, I feel, or a doctor implies that I'm competent enough to stand trial or to understand the actions that have taken place, if at all, that's when I can take action. If there's no statute of limitations until then, if I'm Sam claimed as being incompetent.
No, I can't give you legal advice that, because the statute of limitations is a tricky situation. There are circumstances in which the statute of limitations stops running The word we use is tolled, just like a toll booth stops you from driving. The statute of limitations is tolled. It stopped running, but that would depend upon the facts in your situation and the laws in the state in which you live. Good luck to you.
All right. Let's go to Daniel in Texas. Hi, Daniel.
Hello, sir. Hello, Your Honor.
Hello,
Daniel. How are you?
Good. How are you, my friend?
Fine, thanks. I have a couple questions. First of all, how come lower judges or judges in general have so much power that sometimes they end up making law instead of applying the law?
Uh-huh.
And the other question that I wanted to know is how come they don't follow the state codes if the cases don't match up?
You know, there are about 1,000 judges in the United States who are federal judges, and they are life tenured, and they're meaning they can't lose their jobs unless they themselves commit a crime. And there is a temptation when a person has a job for life with that kind of power to sort of do what you think should have been done in the case before you. And while it is wrong to do, a lot of judges fall to this temptation. So even though the legislature may not have written a law the way they want it, the judge will interpret it as if it had been written the way they want it because they think they're doing the right thing. Now, some of them are just do-gooders and busybodies and collectivists, and some of them really think they're doing the right thing. It's at the end of the day wrong for them to do that because it's the job of the legislature to write the law, and it's not the job of the judge to write a better law than the legislature wrote.
Judge, I was going to, the very question you brought up in your answer here, I was going to ask you, what do you think about the idea of lifetime appointment and whether that is a good idea for a judge?
Well, you know, I'm a little prejudiced here because I came from a system in which we did receive lifetime appointment, and the beauty of it is the following. The judge really does what she or he thinks is right and doesn't care what the editorialists think or what the political powers think because you don't have to please the mob or the voters or the political bosses or the editorialists. On the other hand, when you've been in a job a long time, when you were appointed a long time ago, say by a governor or a president who since has passed on, you sometimes lose the common touch and lose a feel for what the people are thinking. So I can understand the impetus on the part of a lot of states, and there are 37 states that do this, where the judges are elected. But I think the safer system is to keep them away from politics and to give them the life tenure.
I guess we would probably disagree on that. We can have that discussion later, but why don't we go to the next caller, Roger in Missouri. Roger, you're on the air.
Oh, hi there. Thank you. I appreciate you taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I'm a fellow that's... I really love the United States, and I think the Constitution, when it was, for whatever reason, I think the Founding Fathers really pretty much nailed it pretty good. My question is, I know you see a lot lately where it certainly seems to me our rights and liberties are going down the tubes. Not only that, but it seemed like our Congress and the President certainly are going way out of their, to me, illegally out of their bounds. But for the research I've been doing about it, it seems to me, or at least some people believe, that the Constitution, not literally, but let's say de facto, has been set aside from about 1933, something about when the there was like an Emergency Powers Act, and that's one reason why you can see the Congress now doing things that obviously is not in the Constitution.
Boy, you must be sitting down with the researchers who are helping me prepare my next book, young man, because my next book, which we've already started to write, is called The Constitution in Exile. And it basically argues that the Constitution that we have today in no way resembles the one the framers gave us. The framers gave us a Constitution which granted to the federal government 18, count them, 18 specific enumerated delegated powers, things like coin money, run a post office, operate a navy, operate an army, provide for the arts, provide for patents and copyrights and trademarks. Today, of course, we have a Congress that thinks it can resolve everything from the size of our toilet bowls to the speed we travel our cars to the amount of sugar and ketchup to the amount of lobsters you can catch. I mean, last month, John McCain threatened George Steinbrenner if he didn't fire Jason Giambi after Giambi allegedly admitting taking steroids, that the Congress would get involved. What are they going to regulate next? The speed of Roger Clemens' fastball? I mean, we really have a government that has gone way overboard. It is filled with positivists who think they can write and rewrite and rewrite any law they want, irrespective of the basic human liberty that we have. I don't think we can unscramble this egg, sir, in your lifetime or mine, but I think we should try. And believe it or not, this president and some of his appointments to the court may very well be in favor of trying to reduce the federal government and the Congress down to size.
And, Judge, you know, I keep reading the Constitution to find out this grant of the right of federal government over education that would authorize the Department of Education. And is that an example, for instance?
Oh, that's an example. That's not in there at all. I mean, the whole thing was concocted, and we were fed a bill of goods. The federal government has no business telling us how to educate our children, no matter how noble the government's goals may be, no matter how lofty are the goals of the No Child Left Behind Act. Let the taxpayers keep that money. Let the local authorities retax it if they want and spend it on the local schools and keep the feds out.
We just want to take this opportunity and apologize to all of our callers who are on hold. Judge, you are, as we say here at Point of View, a hit because our lines are jammed and we're out of time.
I'm sorry if I talk too much, but I must tell you, it's been an absolutely splendid 2 hours. I'm very thrilled you shared the airwaves with me and some of your wonderful listeners and callers. Thank you for promoting my book. Tell everybody to buy it. Constitutional Chaos, What Happens When the Government Breaks Its Own Laws. You can get it at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or at any major bookstore. And gentlemen, let's do this again some cold, wintry afternoon.
Yeah, it has been a pleasure having you on, Judge, because, again, we hear a lot about judicial activism and judges making up laws, but we need to understand that it's just as wrong and just as much of judicial activism when judges refuse to follow our laws or apply our laws like our Constitution, and the listeners needed to hear that side of the issue as well.
Thank you very much.
And especially coming from a judge like that. Judge, thank you so very much for being with us. Well, as he stated in his book, Kelly, he talked about how there's widespread misuse and abuse of power within our criminal justice system. Our U.S. Constitution is being shredded daily, and many of our listeners, the Point of View, recognize this day in and day out. Kelly Shackelford with the Free Market Foundation, Liberty Legal Institute, we really appreciate your time and all the cases that we hear your name associated with and the fine work going on there at the Liberty Legal Institute and the Free Market Foundation.
Well, thank you, John. It's been a pleasure to be on, and I appreciate all the callers. And it very interesting subject, and I would encourage people to think more about this and share this type of information with their neighbors so that we can all be better citizens.
All right. And indeed, we do have to become professional citizens in this country to protect our U.S. Constitution and our way of life. Thank you for being with us today on Point of View.
You have been listening to Point of View. For materials offered on the program, please write to Point of View, Post Office Box 30. That's Box 30, Dallas, Texas, 75221, ZIP 75221. Or call our toll-free number, 1-800-347-5151. That's 1-800-347-5151. Point of View is produced by the National Center for Freedom and Renewal and is supported by your tax-deductible contributions.
Your dog eats your new sofa. Pet satisfaction rating 3%. Your hairdresser doesn't know burnt auburn from burnt toast. Hair color satisfaction rating 5%. After years of marriage, your husband still leaves the seat up. Spouse satisfaction rating minus 2%. Your car insurance company saves you hundreds